7 minutes before 8 a.m., and you are tuned into Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. Today is Friday, November 1st, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel, and this is Raven News. The Sitka School District is bracing for changes in the way its teaching staff and academic performance are assessed. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw and Assistant Superintendent Mary Wegner outlined some of the programs and objectives of the district in a presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Grant-funded programs are contributing tens of thousands of dollars to district resources this year. Wegner demonstrated how to find a complete list on the district's website. The programs range from digital safety training to a new preschool emphasizing cultural education. But Superintendent Bradshaw used most of his time to caution the public about changes coming in school evaluation, which became necessary when the state of Alaska opted to leave the federal No Child Left Behind assessment program. Bradshaw said that not all of the changes, which are being crafted by the State Department of Education, may prove beneficial.
The big risk that we have going at this point is that at this time, when we roll this thing out, 20% of a teacher's evaluation will be based upon assessments. We can define assessment, but part of that assessment has to be the summative test that the kids take every year.
The district is developing a new English language arts curriculum to help students meet the new standards, and Wegner added that how students will be tested on those standards will also change.
Students will, beginning next school year, be tested in an online environment. So, right now, this school year, school districts across Alaska are looking at their technology readiness. And we just, last week, got back our results, and we are acceptable for our infrastructure, but they did note that we are going to need more bandwidth.
Bradshaw stressed that meeting new standards, even though they are the state's, will still take significant time and energy, and he was concerned that district educators not be pulled from their main task, to have a caring adult teacher support every child. Bradshaw will step down next June after 13 years as superintendent. His remarks at times sounded like a swan song.
Well, I definitely think schools are about socialization to a great extent. I think schools are about helping people understand how to meet and fit into a society. But I don't think that's the school's main purpose. I think schools are supposed to be there for helping kids understand that they're capable of far more than they believe they're capable of. I think schools are there to help create citizens that can think on their own. And unfortunately, everything I've seen in the last 10 years kind of takes us away from that.
Bradshaw, as he has in the past, attributed many of the perceived failings of the public schools to economics, and cited a report claiming 50% of public school students lived below the poverty line. He feared that the continued focus on standards was masking a systemic problem. When we start looking more at data than at the individual child, he said, we have a problem. Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins was in the chamber audience on Wednesday. He said an alternative to standards-based assessment had not been proposed in the legislature and wasn't necessarily going to be.
For the most part, state education evaluation is done by the department, and legislators don't get into that, or at least the legislature hasn't in the past. So the new teacher evaluation system we have right now was created and adopted by the department. And if the legislature wanted to step in and say, no, you're doing that wrong, we've got a better idea, the legislature could, but there hasn't been that kind of, I guess you could say, advocacy. And I haven't heard anything about that happening in the future.
What is in the legislature's power, however, is funding. Christ Tompkins made it clear that he opposed efforts in state government to introduce vouchers or otherwise direct public funding to private schools. He argued for the opposite.
I mean, to me, the real solution with schools and trying to improve schools is to improve the inputs and the resources they have. So, I mean, make teaching a Cadillac profession that every valedictorian and salutatorian coming out of a high school in Alaska wants to become a teacher and have, like, absolutely the best and brightest and most dynamic students and young people in Alaska going into the profession. And as Steve said, if you have caring people in front of kids, that's how lives are changed and educations are bettered. And I think if Alaska can do that, that's how we can, in a meaningful way, improve education and schools in Alaska.
The school district presentation to the Sitka Chamber included some upbeat news. The steady decline in enrollment in recent years appears to have bottomed out. Superintendent Bradshaw reported that the district had just completed its official student count, and enrollment stands at 1,334 students, almost 40 more than budgeted for. State funding to the Sitka district will be adjusted accordingly. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The effort to get Alaska's commercial salmon fisheries covered under the Marine Stewardship Council's eco-label could be delayed. KDLG's Mike Mason has the story.
Alaska's commercial salmon fisheries were initially certified as sustainable by the Marine Stewardship Council back in the year 2000. But last year, the vast majority of the large seafood processors that do business in Alaska withdrew their support for the certification and instead threw their support behind the Responsible Fisheries Management eco-label supported by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The MSC certification lapsed last fall, but it was set to go back into effect this fall after the Purse Seine Vessel Owners Association successfully took over as the client of the process. However, four conservation groups have filed an official objection to the recertification effort. They include the Watershed Watch Salmon Society, the Rain Coast Conservation Foundation, the Skeena Wild Conservation Trust, and the Wild Fish Conservancy. Kurt Beardsley is the executive director of the conservancy. He says the objection is based on concerns about the troll fishery for king salmon in southeast Alaska.
The mixed dock fishery is having quite an impact on fisheries down the coast, mainly in British Columbia, but also in Oregon and Washington. There's over 96% of the Chinook caught in that fishery are not from Alaska, and many of them are from stocks that are not doing well in other regions.
The Wild Fish Conservancy and the other conservation groups are asking MSC to apply some conditions on the recertification to address their concerns. Beardsley suggests tweaking the southeast troll fishery.
We think we need to move away from this particular ocean fishery, bring our fisheries closer to the rivers of origin, so when we have healthy runs, we can harvest those runs and know that we're harvesting those. And when we have weak runs, we can be letting those come back and rebuild so that the overall fishery will do better. This fishery worked quite well historically when all runs were quite healthy, but it isn't working as well now when we have such differences. Some stocks are doing really well, some stocks aren't doing well at all, and they're all harvested at the same rate. We have to kind of rethink what we're doing.
Now that an official objection has been filed, the next step in the process is for an independent adjudicator to be appointed. A statement from MSC notes that the adjudicator will decide whether to proceed to a formal objection hearing. MSC notes that typically the adjudicator would make an initial determination within 10 days, but there is no formal requirement on the timing. Beardsley says his group actually supports the Marine Stewardship Council's eco-label process.
We think it's the world's best certifier. They have the highest standards of any certifier that we're aware of. It allows for more transparency and for outside NGOs and others to participate in the process. So this is not an overall problem with MSC. We just believe that this decision for this fishery was incorrect, and it should be relooked at.
The statement from MSC notes that the independent adjudicator will look at whether any errors were made by Intertech Moody Marine, which actually conducted the assessment of the Alaska salmon fisheries. If the objections can be worked out, all of Alaska's salmon fisheries would be certified as sustainable by MSC, except for those in Prince William Sound. Those fisheries will remain in assessment due to concerns about interactions between hatchery and wild salmon. MSC is the world's leading seafood eco-label, and it's widely used as the standard in many markets and by retailers like Walmart. The concern is that Alaska's commercially caught salmon could lose market share to other fisheries if it does not have the MSC label. However, all of Alaska's salmon fisheries are currently certified as sustainable under the Responsible Fisheries Management Program supported by ASME. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
A business partnership involving Alaska and Delta Airlines is fraying around the edges. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonsi reports they've turned into what some would call frenemies.
Alaska Air Group and Delta Airlines signed a long-term partnership in 2008. Both sides agree it's been a profitable alliance. The carriers feed connecting traffic to each other, coordinate some schedules, and offer reciprocal frequent flyer benefits. But Delta clearly ruffled some feathers at Alaska Airlines this fall. Delta added new flights from the Pacific Northwest to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Alaska Air Group CEO Brad Tilden says his company will aggressively defend what it considers core markets.
Alliances can be complicated. It's likely that in the future there will be markets where it's in our interest to work together with Delta, and there will be markets where we will compete because it's in the best interest of Alaska Air Group to do so.
During a regular conference call to discuss earnings, Tilden says his airline is on track to book a record profit in 2013. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.
And the Coast Guard in Alaska says an Oregon-based fishing vessel that ran aground near Valdez has been refloated and towed to Cordova. The 65-foot Fate Hunter was underwater for almost 3 months before it was towed Tuesday. The Coast Guard says 75 tons of salmon on board was disposed of to help lift the vessel. The Fate Hunter, based in Astoria, also had 1,900 gallons of fuel and oil aboard when it grounded August 11th, about 4 miles west of the Prince William Sound community of Valdez. The Coast Guard says all recoverable fuel and oil was removed. According to the Coast Guard, the cause of the non-injury grounding remains under investigation. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can check out any of our news stories online at kcaw.org. Coming up at 8:18, I'll have a live interview with Ravensway. They're holding open enrollment. Meanwhile, stay tuned for National Public Radio. I will be back with you at 18 minutes after the hour. Have a great morning. It's 41 degrees in Sitka.